The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, April 8th, 2012, for those listening live. And, of course, whatever time it is, whatever day it is, if you're listening to the recording, welcome. Glad to have you with me here today. Happy Easter for those who celebrate that, and for those who don't. Have a happy day. And, as usual, before we jump into the topic for today, let's connect as directly as we can. So, here we go. First phase, into your own divinity, into your own mastery. So open up in whatever way works best for you, into your heart, into your Dantian, into your divinity. And it's time for a little self-exposure, opening up to let yourself connect with your divinity as fully as you're able in this moment. And just let your breath deepen and let your divinity expand expression through you. All right. And moving onward into deeper connection, we open up to the being that makes it all possible for us to be here, to be in body, to be having this co-creation today that is this show, our Mother Earth. And so allow yourself to open up your connection with her more fully through your feet, through the root chakra, whatever other way might work best for you. But it's about opening up to receive her love and support. And that sense of well-being and safety that comes from being connected to the earth. That sense that, you know what, everything is in divine order. Even when it's not necessarily happy or pleasant, it's still in divine order. And at the same time, as you're allowing that love and support to fill you, allow your love and gratitude back to her. Because this is relationship, it's a two-way street, it's a two-way exchange of energy. And the more you allow your love and gratitude to flow to her, the more you can receive her love and support. The more we can receive it. Wonderful. All right, let's expand now in a different direction. Different dimension, and that's to all of our angels and guides, the ascended masters, the spiritual hierarchy, all of those beings who are not in physical body at this time and yet are supporting us consciously, directly, and often continuously as we walk around down here in body and try to figure it out. So open in that direction and allow yourself to feel their love and support for you. And again, open in whatever way works, whether that's opening your heart, your third eye, your crown. But let that love and support come in and fill you and surround you, creating extra energy in your aura, again, to amplify that sense of safety here, that sense of the divine order of things. And as in the connection with our Mother Earth, allow yourself to share your love and gratitude with these spiritual beings, your angels and guides, etc. And again, as we do that, as we allow our love and gratitude to go and to flow to them, we open more fully to receive that support and love that they're offering to us. Amazing that that's how a relationship works everywhere. Not just in these kinds of connections, but let's use that to the greatest advantage we can to come more into our mastery, more into our power. All right. And the next step is to connect as fully as we are able with each other, with all of the co-creators, those here live, those who will listen to this recording at some point, everyone, regardless of time and place, is co-creating this now. And so allow yourself to feel that energy of community, that energy of shared intention, of shared direction, and the support that comes with walking together in those intentions, in that direction. And again, just allow yourself to receive, to fill yourself with that support, and to feel the strength that it adds in your ability to walk your own path into your mastery, into your truth, into your divinity. And outward we go again, one more time, to connect with all those who are walking this planet as lightworkers right now, who have a physical body, and who are choosing a pathway of healing and empowerment, of mastery, and all that comes with that. The path of service, the path of expansion, the path of compassion. All of these things are pieces of that. So we're tapping in to that large community, that mass consciousness of others who are walking this path, who will never know about this radio show, who will never join us here in this particular community of spirit, and yet who are joining us in the larger one. And so we open to feel, to receive, to expand in that energy of that larger community. Once again, walking in shared intention, walking in similar direction. Don't even need to share a language. The language that we're sharing is the language of light, the language of love. And that's what we're opening to. That shared community of love. And so open to let yourself receive that love and that support that comes with it as you move forward on your path more fully. And allow yourself to continue expanding outward, to take that in as much as you're able, and to claim your own gratitude for that support, and to allow that gratitude back out to that community at large so that you can support them even as they are supporting you, so that we can support them as they are supporting us. All right. Well, thank you for joining me on that part of the journey. And I truly hope that that is something that you can feel as much as I do. Because I find that to be, well, just a marvelous experience every time we do that. I can feel the layers opening. I can feel the walls going down. We all have our patterns of self-protection things that we learned in childhood, things that we brought in, as far as I'm concerned, in our soul contract, in our agreements, in our choices about what we were going to experiment with, to explore during this lifetime. And as far as I'm concerned, if you're listening to me, if we have a connection in that way, then part of what you agreed to, part of what you chose for this lifetime, was that at some point in this life, and that point is prior to this moment, or I don't think you'd be listening here, but at some point in this life, you were going to actively start seeking to awaken. You are going to start stepping into greater and greater degrees of conscious awareness of yourself, not just as a physical body, not just as your thoughts or your emotions, but as a spiritual being, as a divine being, as a connection or an expression of spirit in the physical dimensions. And that's the path that we're walking. That's the path of exposing the master within. There's a myriad of ways that we can talk about that we can describe that we can define it. But ultimately, it all boils down to opening. And I find it fascinating in some ways, because for me and for many of the people that I have worked with or who have been at some time or another teachers or healers for me, I believe that the path starts in what's out here. And a lot of that is what we have been taught as children, the religion that we grew up in, if we grew up in a religion at all, if we grew up in one of those traditions. But nearly all of those traditions are based around, and certainly the Christian one is, whether it's Roman Catholic where I was raised or one of the Protestant versions or evangelical or whatever type it might be. But nearly all of those are focused on divinity being out there as something that we seek out there. And so we're attempting to open up to receive divinity into us, to connect with God with the long white beard out there sitting on the throne and throwing judgment at us, which interestingly enough is a very clear picture of the Greek god Zeus. And that judgment came in the form of lightning bolts. But the energetic shift when someone truly steps onto the path, as far as I'm concerned, whether they know it consciously at the moment of that shift or not, the energetic shift is moving from seeking divinity outside ourselves to seeking to connect with, to open into the divinity within ourselves, and to let the divinity come forth from ourselves. And so that's where I wanted to start today, because that to me is a much better interpretation of, well, the whole ordeal that's described in Jesus dying on the cross and resurrecting on the third day, on Sunday. And it is that story about things being imposed from the outside or coming from the outside and then changing around to come from the inside. Let me go further. If we look at the story of the resurrection, the story of Easter, the celebration in the Christian tradition. The story of Easter itself is the story of overcoming death. It's the story of being reborn. It's the story of, well, this is not how they interpret it, but it's the story of past lives compressed into a 3-day time span. In other words, Jesus the man lived up until Good Friday, went on the cross, died, was reborn into, okay, call it the same body, call it the same physical body in this story, but was reborn at a very different level, was reborn essentially, as the description would go, ascended. Even though in the story, Jesus is quite a miracle worker before getting to the crucifixion, it's on a whole other level after making appearances out of thin air, able to convince or hide might be a better way to put it, hide who he was from people he knew very well until he wanted them to see who he was, who could appear, again, out of thin air, I said, but who could appear at very, very, very distant locations. So seemingly we're talking teleportation here. And again, the time frame in the stories in the Bible are not necessarily clear, etc. So I'm certainly adding extra things here or interpreting things. So this is not the literal story that's given there, if it can even be taken literally. But that's a different topic. That's not what I want to discuss today. And then even the, well, let's see. I guess it was Mary in the Catholic who was assumed into heaven. I guess Christ ascended into heaven, and literally that means physically lifted up into the heavenly dimension. In the story, it's lifted up into the heavens and into the atmosphere, etc. But take that energetically, take that story energetically, and with the death, what happened was the letting go of all physical limitation, if you will. Coming back from the dead, being raised from the dead, is the ultimate in breaking through, breaking free of the limitations of the physical dimension. And so, and yet, in those stories, let's go back to the story of Doubting Thomas, one of the apostles who didn't believe it until he put his finger into the nail holes and put his hand into the side, into the wounds. And so even though there was a physical body to be able to do that with, that physical body was no longer experiencing physical limitation. It came back from the dead. And that, to me, is where most of Christianity has placed the emphasis in the wrong point in the story. Placing the emphasis on the sacrifice, on the suffering, on the crucifixion, on the death, that is placing it essentially in the religions that it was supposed to supersede. If you look at the Old Testament, and if you look at other ancient religions, many of them were based on the idea of sacrifice. And again, from an anthropological point of view, that makes sense with a culture that is based upon agriculture. In other words, based on planting, based on having to harvest seeds to save them and to put them in the ground the next year. In other words, there's going to be sacrifice, some of what foodstuffs are grown are going to be sacrificed the next year, put into the earth, buried to rise again in that fruit. So again, Old Testament, and not just Old Testament the way Christianity interpreted the Jewish traditions, but the Jewish traditions themselves talk about the sacrifices at the temples, etc. And that was there to get the approval of the divine. If we take a part of our harvest, whether it's the physical sheep or lamb, or whether it's the harvest that's the plant, if we give that to God, if we offer that sacrifice to God, then we will get abundance in return. This is the original version of tithing, that we give to the divine so the divine will give back to us amplified. And that is how the crucifixion is interpreted. The Lamb of God, the sacrifice, that Jesus was the sacrifice to save us from our sins, blah, blah, blah. That's all the religion that came before this. And then we have the transition, the transformation in the resurrection. Now, again, metaphorically, we're still talking that same thing. The sacrifice, the death of the plant and the harvest in the fall, the rebirth in the spring by planting the seed and new life comes forth. The imagery is still the same. But in terms of what I believe the message is, and obviously everybody has to come up with their own interpretation, their own inner experience. When I say I've channeled something, it doesn't mean that that's something to automatically be believed other, but one of the interpretations that has been channeled specifically about this is that the point of that whole thing, the whole story, the whole experience, to whatever degree it was a literal physical experience of Jesus, that whole story, the focal point is the resurrection, not the crucifixion. The point was the overcoming of death, the overcoming of the limitations in the physical dimension. Whatever we would experience as a limitation, whether it's fighting with the fact that we're aging day by day, or whether it's that we don't have enough money in the bank, or whether it's the limitation in how well we're communicating with others, every limitation that is built upon being in the physical dimension and having our focus be limited and our experience be limited by the polarities in the physical dimension, good, bad, right, wrong, can be transcended. That's what the resurrection talks about. It is rebirth, and it is rebirth on the physical plane. There's lots of stories about ascended masters who die and then ascend. They lived the life that was the one that got them to the point where they were ready to ascend, but the ascension took place as they died and as they left being physically incarnate. And what this story about Jesus demonstrates or gives to us energetically is an idea that we can do that in the body, that we can be in the physical body and yet transcend the physical limitations. And that, to me, is ultimately where exposing the master within, exposing our divinity inside of us, will take us to the place where we can transcend those limitations, to work healings, to work so-called miracles. Miracles are only things that we can't understand, because we're looking at it from a level that doesn't explain it. In the same way that science has explained a lot of things, done a lot of things, that if you took that technology back 300 years, they would claim it miraculous. If you could take telephones back and had a line and you could talk to someone 300 miles away or across the planet, that would be a miracle. Or it would be the work of the devil, because it's outside of the bounds of what is understood at that time, of what was understood at that time. And so what we are doing here in walking this path of self-empowerment and walking this path of self-discovery and walking this path seeking our divinity, opening to allow our divinity to come up, to expand more, to express more, what we're doing is seeking to transcend the limitations that we got programmed with when we were born. We're seeking to step into that place of divinity as experience, not divinity as idea. Divinity within us, not divinity outside of us. And granted, the more we acknowledge and experience divinity inside of us, the more we're going to experience it outside of us as well. Because the outside world for each of us is going to be a mirror. It is a mirror. It's reflecting back to us our relationship with ourselves. And so, what I'd like to do now is take this into a more focused dimension even. Because Easter comes around once a year and it's chosen in the calendar based on the moon cycle and all kinds of fun things like that. But what I would like to suggest is that we have the opportunity to be reborn moment by moment. But, you know, that would require a lot of focus. And that might be a bit too extreme for most of us. I know it is for me. But what occurred to me earlier today to talk about, to bring in here, was the idea that every time we go to sleep, we have the opportunity to be reborn. In other words, we have the opportunity to start fresh. What's the cliche? Lots of cliches probably about a new day. Starting a new day. And yet, we could take that literally if we chose to. We could take that literally. We could do a little prayer at the beginning of the day in gratitude for the day to come and in gratitude for the expansion of our divinity this day to be more than it has been ever previously. And that's a small prayer. Doesn't need to take very long. And yet it's a huge intention. And I know for me, it's not always, well, I guess the best way to put it is, discipline is not my middle name. So it's not necessarily easy for me to implement something that's supposed to be a daily activity. Doesn't matter how good it is for me. Doesn't matter how much I get out of it. To impose it on myself every single day, eventually my resistance gets the better of me, or I get what I need out of it, and then I stop. But even noticing how much at the beginning of each one of these shows, how much I'm able to feel that divinity opening and expanding by going through that process, it boggles my mind to imagine how I would be experiencing my life right now if I could go back in time and tell, I don't know, I guess I was 12 or 13 when I was very consciously cognizant that I didn't believe what the Catholic Church had to say. If I could go back to myself at that age, 12 or 13, and just whisper in my ear and say, every day, at the beginning of the day, if you would just say this little prayer, set this intention for yourself that you're choosing to open your divinity more fully, to experience it inside of you, and to allow it to come out and be shared with the world. That boggles my mind, where I would be right now if I had done that, if I had known that then. And yet it's such a simple thing. And it actually gives to me a vision of how to get to that place that we call ascension, that we call empowerment, that we call enlightenment. Again, multiple terms, but the terms are irrelevant. The experience is the experience of being fully divine at the same time as we are fully physical. And how do we do that if not by incrementally expanding our experience of our divinity? I don't know. I mean, there's lots of stories about God as the bolt of lightning, so to speak, and instant enlightenment happening. And I'm not saying that that never happens, but I am saying that even in those cases, there was significant preparation before those points, or it couldn't have happened. One of the funny things that I've channeled multiple times with different people in groups and in individual sessions, I always find it funny when they say that if you were to experience the totality of your divinity right now, you would catch fire and be consumed immediately because our energy fields are not ready for all of our divinity from where we are to that point right in this moment. And so this little prayer, this little intention setting to expand in your experience of your divinity, to expand in our experience of our divinities day by day, is almost like spiritual bodybuilding in that if we do it a little bit, well, it's like blowing up a balloon. Each breath, each extra air is going to expand it a little more fully. But it's, in that sense, that's a very limited analogy because as we blow up the balloon gets weaker ultimately. But in this case, we actually get stronger. The more we bring that divinity in, the more of it we are able to carry. And so it is more like the bodybuilding. We work with the weights. And as we work at the weights, it aids us in becoming stronger so we can lift greater weights, which aids us in becoming even stronger, etc. And so, well, I offer that to you today. I would encourage you to do that. I know that's something I'm going to be adding to my life. In fact, I think for me, probably the best way to do that is to use the post-it note method on the bathroom mirror. Eventually, I will get to look in that mirror every day. I will get to the bathroom, and that will help me to do that. But that's ultimately what it's about. Now, along the way, and this is one of those frustrating things, along the way of walking this path, we end up going on the cross time after time after time. And what I mean by that is that as we're walking forward, as we're seeking to expand our divinity, as we're seeking to expand our empowerment, we are continually being brought face to face with the patterns of our limitation, with the patterns that would prevent us from being in that empowerment. Now, that's not because we're being tested. It's because we're asking for something new. And in order to create something new, we must get rid of the old first. And this is, again, one of those things that you rarely hear. And, well, I haven't heard it in truth, other than when I was talking with others that when I was presenting it to them in this way, that as soon as we put out something that we would like to manifest that we don't have, the first response from the universe is to bring up all those energies that are the reasons why we don't have it already. And even if someone does manage to manifest it before things go wrong and prevent them from manifesting it, oftentimes there's a backlash and then they lose it. They lose it because they don't have the integrity within them. And I don't mean that in terms of moral integrity or that they're good people. I mean integrity in the sense of every level of them being in perfect alignment and harmony. In other words, a lot of people have very strong will and very strong desire, but they don't have the sense of self-worth that allows them to keep what it is they actually create. Or even if they do keep it, they're miserable, and it doesn't bring them at all what they thought it was going to bring them in terms of inner experience. But that's us going up on the cross. That's the negative coming up. And again, often we'll hear terms like being tested. God's testing me. I'm stepping into this new thing and then I'm being tested. Well, that testing is the opportunity to choose again the new path and let go of the old one. That's all it is. It's not a test in the sense of spirit is trying to prevent you from doing it or the devil is trying to prevent you from doing it. It is, in order to fit some new clothes in my closet, I need to get rid of some of the old ones. If I'm going to wear a new outfit, if I'm going to wear a new level of divinity, then I have to make room for it and get rid of the old. And so, again, the more we choose to walk this path as an evolution rather than to walk it as a response to our crisis, which, granted, is how the majority of people I know walking this path got onto it. They hit some crisis that they could not handle with what they knew, and they had to go find new tools. And so wherever that got them, psychology, spirituality, alternative medicine, didn't matter. It was, they were out of their depth, and so they needed to find something else that would help them, that would serve them. And so the crucifix does have its purpose. But the more we walk this path gradually and expand a little bit at a time, the less we are going to experience those crucifixion moments where it's overwhelming pain and where it's, oh my God, it's a horrible death, in order to get the rebirth, in order to get to the new level. Because we're not trying to move so much all at once. We're not trying to move from a place of extreme chaos and pain to a place of nirvana in the course of 24 hours. We're looking for it to be a little bit better today, and a little better than that tomorrow, and a little better than that the day after. Which doesn't really serve in the sense of, we argue with that in our culture, because we have, well, you get a symptom, thing you don't like, take a pill, have a surgery, it'll get rid of it. And, well, it gets it out of our consciousness, but it doesn't get rid of it. It doesn't get rid of the underlying causes. It doesn't get rid of the underlying patterns. It just changes our experience at the conscious level of what's going on. If I've injured myself physically, and I choose to take painkillers or whatever, again, nothing wrong with that. But if I choose to take painkillers and push through the pain, so to speak, go ahead and do that which damaged that part of my body in the first place, I'm likely to make the underlying problem worse, even though I don't feel it as much because I'm suppressing the pain. Well, the same is true of our emotional pain. That's another one of those paradoxes walking this path, is that the further we go, the less good we get at suppressing our pain. When pain does come up, the worse it feels. Now, from one way of looking at it, that just seems wrong. I must be doing something wrong. I must be failing because I feel worse than I did before I did all this spiritual stuff. Well, no, that's not what's actually happening. What's actually happening is we are more aware of our pain in the moment. We are more fully present with it, and so it feels worse because we're feeling more of it. We're suppressing less of it. That's actually a sign of moving forward. And ultimately, what we get to is the place where we move through it more quickly, because we're experiencing more of it at one time. And we move through it more quickly because we're more aware that this is an opportunity for healing rather than a punishment that we've done something wrong. Not that those kinds of judgments don't come up anymore. They certainly can. But for instance, and I did speak about this in January when it happened, when I did the burning that allowed me to get to that place of just feeling wonderful, 30 minutes later I got smacked with the worst thing I've ever experienced in my life in terms of loneliness and despair. And then 30 minutes into that, I was still experiencing that and had that major joy come up, the knowing experientially that everything was in that divine order. That this wasn't a test. It wasn't me doing something wrong. It was coming up because it was moving out. It was coming up as a result of me choosing to cleanse. And that was a case where I absolutely was not doing the incremental. I was not doing, a little bit more today. That was me burning a huge, huge amount. That was me seeking to clear a huge, huge amount of old limitations, of old pain. And it was wonderful, and I survived it, but it was the most horrible time I ever went through so far in terms of what I was experiencing consciously in the moment. And I've been through divorce, I've been through death, I've been through, well, not my own. Not talking that kind of Easter for me yet. I've been through negative things. And that was the worst one I'd experienced. And that was after walking this path very consciously for a very long time. And it was the worst I've experienced because I was the most present with it and the least resistant to it. It came up, and in spite of how horrible I felt, I consciously set about moving it, consciously chose to get it out of me, to keep the energy going, rather than getting it up in my consciousness and then getting bogged down in it, getting stuck in it. But again, I look back and I go, well, would that have been necessary? Would that have been something I would have created had I been from the age of 12 every day asking for an expansion of my experience of my divinity? I don't know. But I do know I would be in a very different place right now. And I am committing to that exercise myself. So, if you happen to see me or talk to me directly, ask me about it. I'll take the feedback. I'll take the support. Ask me how I'm doing with that. And, because I do desire this to be a habit. Maybe I need to make this part of my ritual of brushing my teeth or something like that. Attach it to something I'm already doing every day so that it gets anchored in that much more fully, that much more deeply, that much more quickly, and best of all, that much more easily. So, well, that's about what I want to close up with here today for my portion of the show. And I do, well, I do wish to wish you a happy resurrection every day, a happy rebirth every day, a happy new empowerment every day, a happy incremental opening every day from here on. That's my wish for you, that you can come into your power, that we can each come into our power. Step by step, not having to manifest the extreme trauma or drama, not having to manifest that. And when we do, of course, moving through it the best we can. But I'm all for the next step. And we'll get to the last step in the journey. We'll get to that step of full empowerment. But what I have right now is the next step, the next thing, the next moment, the next breath, the next intention. So, thank you for joining me step by step by step. And let's see what they might have to offer us from the other side in a direct way here today. So, as always, in the channeling, I would ask you to just allow your breathing to deepen while I do the toning to bring in whoever is going to be speaking with us here today. Dear ones, this is Mary Magdalene, come to be with you today. Welcome. Welcome. I come here as the witness. The witness. And I offer you not only my service, but the service of the other ascended masters, the service of the entire angelic corps. That we are here to witness you coming into your divinity, rebirthing yourselves, giving yourselves the gift of your own power, the gift of your own light. Even as in the story, I was the first witness to see that which was gone, to see the empty tomb, so to speak. And to see the resurrected one. And so we are here offering you that, offering you our witness, offering you, of course, the support, the ongoing support as you take the steps to move forward on your path, but offering you the witness. You are not walking this path alone. You are in community even when no one is around you. And yes, there are others in the community who are in body, but you are in community with the saints and the angels as well. And we don't say saints to be the ones that the church has ordained. We say saints to be the ascended ones, the ones who have lifted themselves into their sanctified nature, into their divinity. And we are here to mirror you. So even when you cannot see us physically, you can seek us energetically. You can ask to become more aware of our presence. You can ask to feel the divinity radiating from us to you. To feel us embracing you, holding you, supporting you, as the mother holds the child who is nervous or uncertain or afraid. We are here to hold and support you in whatever way you need to be held and supported, to love you unconditionally, to hold you as the divine being that you are, knowing that the limitations, well, they are your costumes that you have chosen to wear in this play. And the play is transforming. The play is improvised. You have choice. You have choice. And so, more and more, you have the choice to unclothe yourself, to take your costumes off, to expose your truth to the world. To expose your light to the world, to expose your power. And so we would help you with that. So right now, if you would just imagine yourself, in layers of clothing, layers upon layers upon layers of clothing, all different types and sizes, all different time frames in your cultural history, layered on top of each other. And then give yourself permission to disrobe as many of those layers as you can, to unbutton them, unzip them, unlatch them, unlace them, to take them off, to have them cut off of you if you so choose, if you want to do it a little faster. But give yourself that permission to let them fall away, because these are your masks, these are your personas, these are your patterns. They are not your essence. They are not your truth. They are not your nature. Some of them, many of them, are reflections of your nature, but they are not your nature. Your nature is completely free to create in the moment. And anything that you have as a definition where you say, this is me, I am this way, that is something that is not your nature. It is your limitation. It is a definition. It is a costume that you wear. And so take that costume off. And if you have particular things like that in mind, you can make little labels on the lapel as you take these clothes off that say, oh, I am friendly, or I am a procrastinator, or I am one who has trouble speaking to others easily. Whatever it is that you judge yourself about, whatever it is that you judge yourself about, both as a failing and as a strength, take it off, because it is a limitation. It doesn't mean you will stop having the capacity to act in that way. It means that you will stop using it to defend who you are, to try and prove yourself to yourself or to others. And it will allow you to come more freely into your mastery and express it. Because you are not wearing the badge of courage or the badge of shame any longer. Rather, you are choosing to lay all of those badges, all of those costumes aside, and say, I am divinity. I am freedom. I am creativity. I am choice. And so we bid you a wonderful day to rebirth yourself, to shed some of your old masks, to embrace and allow your essence to shine forth. Our love is with you, along with our support and our witnessing. Namaste, dear ones. Well, thank you to Mary Magdalene. Thank you to all of you out there helping to co-create this and opening the space where she could join us. I do want to take a moment here to give a brief commercial announcement before I close out. And that is about the next gateway, which is going to be the Gateway of Peace. And it is going to be on Saturday, May 5th. That's the next full moon. So quite a ways off. Additionally, on that day, we're going to do a second event, which is the Wesak Festival, the celebration of the Buddha. And as I've done for the last several years, I will be creating the Wesak water that will get sent to everyone who participates. But I just wanted to put that out here now, get that energy rolling, because it is a very powerful event and a very wonderful one to participate in. So I would invite you to join us if you feel called. If you're not on my email list, drop me a line and let me know, and I will get you on it to get the information out there more fully. And My intention is actually to have that information up much sooner than I've been doing of late for the gateways. So check out the website as well, ourearthpass.com. All right. Doug, please start the chimes when you have a chance. And I thank each and every one of you for being here to co-create with me here today to bring forward what we needed to share and to maximize it. And I ask you to continue letting me know what you think, giving me your feedback about what I did in the show, what you liked, what you didn't like, what you'd like to hear more of, questions, comments, anything that you'd like to offer. I'd love to hear. It does help. It does shape what comes in the future. So in any case, I thank you for that. I will be back here again next week, same time, same time. Again. To discover yourself more fully. Let's go.